Yes. Another video. Okay, do you have a taller standard?
A taller standard?
Not every mug is sheer, I'm sure, it's 6'2", but I'm just curious if you have... What? No? All the same size? Is that the same as this over there? Is that the same size?
I believe so.
Yeah?
Which standard?
I was curious if it's a taller one. It's not market, but...
Stand one back a minute.
That's a good idea. Okay, I hope I don't need an introduction by now, but I see my introduction just walked in. I think they know me already, no? What? You want to introduce anyway? I don't need it unless you want to make announcements. What?
I missed that.
What? The LM already stopped learning, so every second I'm responsible for you. What? Just off the announcement, the instructor is going to...
Special my cry is to shear the covet from the Olam. It's a covet and a schia for Beis Medrash Ar Chaim's night coil, now learning Hilchus Kibud Av Va'Em, to hear a shear and get answers of many of our questions that we had now the past month from Rav HaGoyin, Rabbi Yosef Weiner, Rav Dekila Shara Shamayim, and also I think it's fair to say Magid Shir internationally. People listen on the website all over, CDs. This is not the first time, not the second time. Baruch Hashem was zoicha many times to hear a Shir by Rabbi Weiner. We just had now this past summer's man, we learned Hilchas Tzedakah. So we had a series of two shurim to answer many of our questions, Hilchas Tzedakah, Maisa Ksafim, Halacha Lamaisa, as well as we had a Shmuz and Elul, and Uberoshim we had in this topic of Kibud Av Va'Em and Hilchas Kibud Av Va'Em in the Yeshivas Bein Azmanim. We had well over 100 participants sending in questions, and we're once again happy and privileged to have a Shir by Rabbi Weiner. I was recently had the opportunity to be able to listen to two shiurim by Rabbi Weiner on Hilchas Kibud Av Va'Em, and Rabbi said it's mavra alai in the questions and the shailas that should come out to everybody, and we look forward to hearing. We planned and we scheduled when the shiur should be, so I told Rabbi Weiner we're learning till Chanukah. So he said till Chanukah, at least till Pesach. I'm not even sure you'll be able to cover it all. It's a covet and a schia to hear the shir by Rabbi Weiner Shlita.
We were just making announcements, so do it afterwards. But thank you again. The Olam is Baruch Hashem learning very well and listening very well. And I, Taka, we shared after the Hilchas Taka, which rather had some Kibud Av Va'Em in it also. Maybe we'll get back to some of it. We had already shailus for a few weeks afterwards, so we're not going to finish tonight. And Mr. Shem will have another opportunity. As we just heard, it's a sugya almost samayim shein lam seif for just two simanim in Yerideya. But it's nogea to everyone. Everyone has or had parents. And it's nogea. Unfortunately, Lailenu, it's nogea to people who... I've dealt with this, we're not going to touch upon this tonight, the people who have parents and Nebuchadnezzar never met them. People had parents and for some reason, due to sichsuch, they're not in touch, how to patch it up, how to fix it up. One thing's for sure, when you finish even the introduction of Hilchas Kibud Av Va'Em, it's a different look at the hischaivus and the achrayus of fixing things up. Obviously, the parents hopefully want to and the children should want to. And hopefully everybody in this room that's not Nageya, with Nageya is already taking a good relationship and making it better. And for those that is Nageya to what the Chayivim are to try to fix it up. And like any sensitive topic, I'm fully aware that whenever you give a shir to a rabbim and then it's videoed and on different sites, things can be misquoted. So I ask whoever's listening here and in the future, to try not to do that. I will be, we're going to start the sugyot at night Seder in a month or two when we finish Chukah Seim Lus Aleichu. And you'll tell me how the Kvitz Zaderech went to the 2 months. I don't know if it's going to be that quick, but if you want to at least see, just for the Hazaris, just for the Musar Shabbai, what a chiv it is. So since we're in Sefer Bereishis, two examples. I want to bring one now, just to throw it out to the Elam. Rachmon Islam Le'alenu, a person has a choice between saving a child or a parent. Who goes first? I've told this to people. So the answer is parent. Rabbi Yankiv, and the Sefer Chumash has a raya. Anybody know what the raya is? It's coming up soon in a couple of parshas. Yehuda turned to Yaakov Avinu. First time he said, we got to go back down and we got to bring Binyamin, and he's not going to see us otherwise. And Yaakov Avinu, understandably so, didn't want Binyamin to go. And Yehuda kept pressing. He said, we're running out of food and we really have to go back down. V'nichye v'lo nomus gam anachnu gam ata gam tapenu. Rabbi Yankiv says, you see from this that the order, Le'alenu should never be nageh, the order is chayecha kodmin, before anyone, and then gam ata, Yehuda is talking to Yaakov Avinu, v'gam tapenu, and then the children. So you're correct, but you see Farish from Chumash, that is the pecking order. We hope that's never nageya, but just lasabras oizen to understand this chayvis. Yes, most people who never touch kibud av v'aim, they just say out of hisrakshus that the greatest ava is for a child, and therefore, of course, you have to save a child first. And the halacha says not so. The halacha says the ava might be greater toward a child, but because of that, not despite of it, because of it, the Torah gives us a hischaivus klapi, the parents who've had that ava toward us, which for a lot of people is counterintuitive. And that's what's so interesting about this sugya, is that what you think from your first secular hashkafa is that, well, you know, it's very nice, got to honor your parents, and I have that also, but the children come first. And Rabbi Yankiv says it's not true. So that already is something to think about, just as a hagdama to the sugya. What I'm going to do is I'm going to select just a few different subtopics in the Mechaber, go to the Mechaber and the Noisy Kalim very quickly, go to some of the Raid, and then go to the Shailuz and try to circle back. I'll start off with perhaps what's the most controversial one, but it's early in the Siman. So the Mechaber, and I'll throw this out more as a kasha, as you'll see on one side of the Machlekes. Chabad Siv Gimel quotes the Gemara, where the Gemara says the Dama ben Asina. There's a lot of discussion why the symbol of great Kibbut of Aim is by a guy. Couldn't find the Yid, God's Chayisol, the Deri Deris. I did it like this. I'm not going to answer that now, but that's an important kasha also. Why it says it's Madna. I have all the examples, and we only find it by Kibbut of Aim. There are Achrayim and behold, the Kibbut of Aim is a Chiv by Goyim. It's not one of the Zayim mitzvahs, but the list is a lot more than Zayim mitzvahs. If you ask somebody how many mitzvahs Goyim have, they say Zayim. They never learned the Perek and Sanhedrin, which is fine. Let's get to it sooner or later. But the list is 10, 15, 20, 25, depending on how many sheetis you hold. Like the Rambam, passes like some of them, other Rishonim. Grafting trees, believe it or not, is an Isser for Goyim as well. To make a tangelo, take a tangerine. And there are a lot of fruits on the market. The good news is, b'di'evit, it's mutter to eat. Don't get nervous, but you're not allowed to do it l'chadchila. To make a beefalo, just an example, a beefalo is a costing a cow and a buffalo. It's lesser. But the product is mutter if buffalo is a mutter. Most peskim say they are. So, Goyim have many more mitzvahs besides the seven. There are some achranim who say that this is one of them, and others say, no, it's the mitzvah sichlius, they should, it's bekavit, it's good midas, but it's not an actual chiv. But to pick him as the example, okay. For another day, Lamaisa, he's the example. He was sitting, very choshev a guy. We have one story with the key under the pillow, and he couldn't wake his father up, and he couldn't get the money he would have gotten, and next year he got a paradum as schar. And the other Maisa, same person, same parents, that his mother, he was sitting with the notables of Rome, the senators there, and his mother came and spit at him and ripped his clothing and started screaming and carrying on. And he basically didn't make a strong macha. There's one makar that he said, please ma, enough, or another makar, he didn't do anything. Either way, he didn't blow up. So what do you learn from here? So Tosfos says his mother obviously was not all there. Something very wrong with her. That's a very, you see the Tosfos, you don't realize what a huge nafkamina that is. Because if she had Alzheimer's or she had some other mental issue, so then it's easier to explain why the din is you can't say anything because not her fault. That's not such a chiddush. It's a chiddush. He controlled himself. And you have to control yourself. But it's not such a chiddush. Nebuch, the person has issues. And what happens if, now today, everybody's crazy. No, he's crazy. She's crazy. I haven't dealt with the Shalom Bayis problem yet. Well, he didn't say she was crazy and vice versa. It didn't happen yet. Everybody's certified crazy. Everybody is a little crazy. It's a question always in life, what degree? So I have many complaints from children that just last week somebody said, what do I do and keep it off aim? Every single week I call my mother. I try to call her once a week, and for 25 minutes I get screamed at. Not the first time I heard such a shayla. I said, 25 minutes straight? He said, well, I try to maneuver. I said, why don't you change the subject? So he says, I did that a few times. Every time I change the subject, my mother says, what do you think? I was born yesterday. Why are you changing the subject? And then I would get screamed at for another 15 minutes. I have like a 10-second intermission. So is she crazy? He didn't even claim. I don't know. There are issues there. Maybe the issues are with him. Maybe she feels he needs the mussar, and that's the only 25 minutes of mussar he gets. I don't know exactly what the story is. I don't know the person very well. But he's not claiming that she's certified crazy. So Tosfos says that Dama Menasina didn't blow up, and therefore we have a chiyuv not to react very harshly. Perhaps because she was completely crazy, therefore what are you going to do? It's not her fault. Nafkamina is, if she's not, again, obviously something's wrong, but she's not completely crazy, so then maybe we call that abuse. Maybe you're not mechuyev. This is a very abuse is bandied around, and I'll say this disclaimer, even though they never get me anywhere. For those Loyalena who are going through this, so you have to, you need Das Torah involved, you need a psak, you need a good therapist, a good form therapist, and it's a very, very dangerous, dangerous slippery slope, and it's a balance. Because on the one hand, parents aren't perfect, they never were. But there's one yesod that we know for sure, which is sometimes missed, and that is if we have a chiv of kibbut of aim, and it's in the Aseres HaDibros, the Torah is not talking to malachim, the Torah is talking to regular, normal people. I'm saying normal, the people that are only 20% crazy. So we're talking about parents who are going to make mistakes, but they're good people, and by and large, they're trying to do the right thing. Do they have the best adrocha? No. They always make the right decision? No. Is there a chiv kibbut of aim in that circumstance? Of course there is. That's what the chiv is. The chiv is not talking about people who have parents who are lamed vovniks. So I am just to bend the tree toward the middle. I'm not attacking any particular therapist, but I've had issues on both sides. I had issues where some people went too soft and the parents really were abusive and the child was suffering. I've had many cases where the parents weren't perfect, but again, the Torah is not speaking to perfect people, and the child was turned against the parents in therapy, and they started off with, which is often, not always, but often a secular approach, like it comes to your parents and your grandparents, and what did your grandparents do, and who mistreated who, and they go back at all the history, and therefore the villain ends up being the parents. If that's the way it comes out most of the time, there's something very wrong, because the Torah says not so. If it says keep it over aim, assuming most people are not completely crazy, the chiv is when the parents are acting like regular people, people who make mistakes, people who are not perfect, people sometimes get angry. So we say, well, no, whenever they get angry, that's abuse, and therefore I have no chiv, keep it over aim. Anyway. That's not true. On the other hand, there are cases where they're so far gone that it is serious abuse, in which case the parent is not in line at all, and the child should either move away or disengage. They're two extremes. What I'm just troubled by is I've in a few cases already had to undo situations where the parents were put in a certain light that the child felt, whether, I'm not blaming the therapist, maybe they were misquoting the therapist. One case I found out they weren't. And the child felt that I'm putter from keep it of aim. I'm not mechuyev anymore, I'm not mechuyev, it's because my parents are wrong and I feel abused and therefore I'm the victim. There are cases like that, but it has to be that the roiv isn't, because we've had a long and painful golus. They say, now in America, people are under pressure. We're under a lot less pressure than we were in Europe during the pogroms and during the Inquisitions. So if Kibbut of Aim applied then, and applied for the last 2,000 years, and applied in the time of the Gemara, it's got to apply now. That means roiv cases, despite the fact the parents aren't perfect and make mistakes, there's still a chiv of Kibbut of Aim. And I can't overstress that point, because it's a little bit out of balance nowadays. And again, I'm not attacking any particular sheet in the therapy. They're trying to do a good job. If they've been, you have to first go to a therapist, a ben teira, or a lady who has from hashkafis and is asking shaylas. And then you have to put Kibbut of Aim in the right perspective and understand what the chiyuv ma, despite the fact it's not always so easy. And then talk about the cases where, what do you do if they're crazy? What do you do if they're half crazy? The reason I say that is because Taisus sounds like a kula. It's only because she was crazy, he had to hold himself back. If he's being abused, he doesn't. And I agree with that. No one's disagreeing with that. The question is the degree and how to deal with each case. My raya, or you'll call it kasha, on the shitas, and there are various shitas among, probably among therapists and probably among rabbonim as well. I'll tell you my feeling on the Stam of the Mechaber. You learn this Mechaber, you'll tell me afterwards what you think about reading a Mechaber that doesn't qualify the statement. Mechaber says, Arhechen Maron, Haya Ben Lovish, Chamudas, Yeshev, Beresh HaKol, Mishnayam Veda, with all his friends. Yubo Avi Vima, Vikra Bagada, Vikua Al Reshai. And they spit at him, they hit him over the head. Yarkib Afanov, La Yachlam Asam, you shouldn't say anything, you shouldn't embarrass them. Al Yishtuk Vyurim and Melech Malchim, Melechim Shitzuvo Vakach. That doesn't mean that if you see them coming next time, you have to stand there for the abuse. You could probably find another place to be, but you can't say anything. Mechaber doesn't qualify this and say that's only like Taitzah B'medvar Murim if they're totally crazy because it's not their fault. Mechaber doesn't say that. There's some wanted to say that. Mechaber didn't say it because Pashut. I don't agree in a big way. Mechaber brings down the din stam that you can never say anything. Pashut is that you can't react. You'll say, well, maybe everybody agrees you can't react. Why should you react? It's done already. Well, I think it's a tall order. If you read the Mechaber Kipshutai, even though they did this, you can't say anything that will prevent this the next time. So you could say the Mechaber is stam, where they're completely crazy. Not then, you can't react because blowing up is not going to do anything. Next time, it's a quiet moment, say, Ma, do me a favor, please don't do that again. Maybe. I'm just putting it out there. It's not clear whether this Mechaber is going with Taisus. Taisus is telling you, Ma'aseh Shaliyah, she happened to be crazy. Ramesha says in the Tshuva, we know that it was a good shidduch. He doesn't spell it out like this, but his father wasn't too normal either, because if you would wake up your father after you just lost $17 million because the key was under his pillow, and say, Ty, you're going to be so proud of me. I didn't wake you up even though we just lost $17 million. If he had a gun, it would be dangerous, right? What kind of ridiculous, what kind of shaita is this for a son? So the answer is that he knew, the Chiddushin story is, he knew his father had this mishagas between 1 and 4 in the afternoon. He sleeps and kol rucha shebailam, don't wake me up. I don't care if I'm going to make $20 million. I don't want the money. I want to sleep. Now we would say, most normal people say, that's crazy. But the chiddush is that the father was comfortable, he had enough money, he wanted to sleep. So I can't, Shiloh, whose key it was, whose money it was, that's a Shiloh Hale learned the story. But the moral of the story, however you learn it, is that if that's his mishagas, you have to respect it unless he's doing damage. And it's not damage as many as revach. But you would say the father is not all there. Well, he was married to this lady who's out at him and ripped his clothing in front of everybody else. It was a good shidduch. In Ve'a Geffen, and they were either happily or not so happily married. But the chiddush, again, according to Taisus, is only because she was crazy. We don't know how not normal he was. Question is, the Mechaber doesn't qualify the statement. And that's a very important shiloh over here. And people are quick to say that, well, my parents aren't acting normally because they didn't give me this, that, or they didn't handle it this way, and therefore I have no chiyuv anymore. That's simply not true.
She was crazy. Are you allowed, is she
mechuyev
to pay off the money? A crazy person.
You can, according to the Amar, you could sue them and base them afterwards. The Amar says that later.
No, that's what I'm bringing around.
In a nice way.
It says over here that you can give it to the after.
So yeah.
If a shaita comes.
A shaita is not chayev in paying anything.
But Right, so then it's a raya that it's not talking about what's called an itch for David.
No, because in this case, with the where she spit and she ripped his clothing and everything, I don't know if she had any money, depending on where the father's holding financially after he never woke up in the afternoon for any business deal. And you're going to sue for boishas? Not really. His clothing, maybe, you could sue for. Sounds like he was a comfortable fellow himself, Don Benesina. I don't think it's worth his while. But Amot does paskin, you can take it to the basin afterwards and ask. Again, Baruch Hashem, to this extent, these things don't usually happen. We live in a generation where Kibbutz Av Ve'Em is a specific challenge. And call it the me generation, and we think a lot of things are coming to us. And because of this, Kibbutz Av Ve'Em often suffers. And people are looking for an excuse that the reason I'm not performing in my Kibbutz Av Ve'Em is this. My parents did this, that, and the other thing. And I've heard all these arguments from kids. Sometimes it's a very extreme and the kid is right. And quite often, that's not a reason that you're not mechuyev in the mitzvah. And Hashem demands these ases and lesases and hakaras hatov. And that's the nature of the mitzvah. The reason it's in the Seres HaDibros is because it's not too easy sometimes. So that's the first machaber, which again needs focus depending on the situation. The machaber talks about one area where parents have no sway, one area that's clear. Matter of fact, it's the last Rashi in this week's Parsha. Not coincidentally, I'm sure. Rashi makes the whole cheshbon of where the missing 14 years were and what Yaakov Avinu was doing. Rivka man had told him, Beferish, I want you to go straight away and get the shidduch and get married. And he stopped for 14 years and didn't do that and learned, and then he got there. He was not punished for that. And the Gemara goes out from here that for Talmud Torah, if you feel that you have to go out of town and the parents don't want you to go out of town, they're going to miss you and not going to have somebody to service them over here, assuming you can get somebody else and it's not a health issue, you're allowed to go if it's objectively good for your Talmud Torah. Again, for a young bachur, that's to be discussed with parents and mechanchim to see objectively whether or not that's really the case, or Istam wants to the adventure of going out of town. So one clear heter is if he's going for Talmud Torah. Pesach Teshuva points out that if he's in town, some people might think it's a good chop. Whenever you hear your mother coming and you know it's that time of night, she's going to ask you to take out the garbage. You quickly open up your gemara before you get to the room. And when she gets to you, say, sorry, Mom, I'm learning. So Pesach Teshuva says that does not work. If you're in town and in the house, that's like any other din when there's a steer between Talmud Torah and a mitzvah shavagufa, you got to close the gemara. If your sister is there and she is more than willing to help you learn, she's into your hasmada, you say, Ma, can you please ask Rivki, I'm learning now. And I'm sure most houses that'll go over very well. I'm sure Rivki will be thrilled. And she'll be more than happy to chip in. If that's not the case, then the mother doesn't want to get into which sibling is doing it. She asked you to do it. You got to close the gemara. You got to take care of it. And a parent who is sensible and proud of their children's learning should not ask them if it's going to interrupt their learning. But once you're here, you got to do it. You could take yourself out of the matzav and go out of town. That's the chiddush. And you won't be in a position to do these mitzvahs on a consistent basis. And the chiddush miyakavinu is that that is okay. That's a clear heter. What's not as clear is as follows, and this is at least a two-way machlokes, possibly three options. This is important for some of the questions we're going to get to. If a parent asks a child to do something that's not a direct hana, it's not giving them food, giving them drink, getting them dressed, taking them places, not a direct physical hana, it gives them nachas or gets them annoyed when you don't do it. Is there a chiyuv kibbutz av ve'em? The Rashba clearly says that midaraisa there isn't. Mashma from the Rashba and the Ramban there, midarabanan there is. Sefer Makna in Kedushin has an interesting raya where he says it's not under kibbutz, it's under meira. Because if you say sedevraim, if you don't do it, you say sedevraim, and that's under meira. He has an interesting raya because learned out from the Pasuka Meira that she's not mechayeves if she's married. So he asks, why does it go under Meira? It goes under kibbutz, but she can't do kibbutz because she's meshubit to the husband. Why does that do a Meira? Meira just means don't be says at the raya, don't sit in their place. So Machna says it must be the Meira has a positive application that if you don't do it, even though it's not their direct hana, you'll be over on Meira, and if she's married, she's now patura. That's why he put it under Meira. That's the second possibility. There's a third possibility, some are trying to mention, that if it's going to cause them absolute tsar, even if it's not under Meira, then you can't do it. That's nageya to many different things. We'll see some of those in the question when we get to it. So hold that in mind for a few minutes. If a parent asks you to be Eivor Adin, whether it's a Din D'Oraisa or a Din D'Rabbanon, you're not mechuyev to listen. If it's a Chumra, then you should be careful. Especially if it's a Chumra you want to take on, that's not the original minig of the family, because the parents will be especially sensitive, like it's a slap in the face, like, what, I'm not from enough for you, you're taking on this minig, even though they should be mature about it, and you want to put on a gartel, so what, it's a nice hider, so just because you're not wearing a gartel makes you look bad, but people are human. I don't want you putting on a gartel, we don't wear a gartel. I don't want you putting on a strimon, I don't want you putting on any chumra. I've had this with Bochum a lot, they want to grow payas. Payas behind the ears, not... They're not switching the entire persuasion of the minig of the family necessarily. Let's go pay. The father said we never had the minig and I don't want it. So here already, you have to, each shaila is really, it's subjective in terms of where this is coming from and why the father is objecting. Often the parent is objecting because they're just a little insecure because, like, I don't have it, it's going to make me look less from. Okay, it's human, but usually I tell the parents, like, this is your big problem in life. You should take your nachas and run. Like, this is your big problem. He wants to keep a chumra. If I can't talk the parents into it, then I usually tell the children not to start up if it's not necessary. If it's situational where his chevra, they all have it, and it's a frum chevra, and it's a chinuch necessity to keep him with his chevra, and he feels like the odd kid out, then I will really lean on the parents to allow it. And if they don't, I might tell the kid, you're not mechuyev. Because if he feels this is going to affect his ruchnius, it's not just the chumra, it might be what it represents and who he wants to associate with. So then that's a different story. So you have to look at each chumra, the maila of each chumra, and figure out where he's really going with it. Chol v'Yisrael, which I see one of the questions sent in, is always a popular question. Chol v'Yisrael, Yoshan. Chol v'Yisrael is a very nice hiddur. Ramei Shabbatim hold is mutter. Ramei Nefeshei Machmer. This hold is really usser. But if he comes from a family that never kept it, now he wants a machmer for the chumra or for Ramesha's suggestion that Ramei Nefesh, Ben Teira, Shiloh, which version, the different tshuvas, the different lashanas. So it's a very nice thing. If for whatever reason the parents don't agree, also often because the mother doesn't want to go shopping special and she wants to cook and bake with Chol v'Stam. If I can't convince the parents, I will tell the child, I'll still keep it of aim. Don't drive anybody meshuga, and when you get married, you'll make your own decisions. You go to yeshiva, you'll make decisions. You'll, when you go out as a bacher, you'll dafka by Chol v'Yisrael. One bacher told me, says, no, when I go out, I want to get Haagen-Dazs. Just in the house, I want to make a trouble. So that's, at least he was honest. So if you want to do on your own time and it's not bothering anybody, then wonderful. But you got to be careful with the chumras because people do have self-esteem, and sometimes it rubs against their covet, and you gotta be careful about that. Again, I'm trying to hit the main points, so when we get to the questions, we're going to be able to address them. The Gemara brings down a big machlekes. Which one of these is Daraisa? Which one is an Asmachta? Which is the Rabbanon? But there's a chiv of covet of Eishes Aviv. Any step-parent, the Zachiv covered for an older brother, Machlekes Achreinim, whether it applies to the oldest brother only or all the older brothers, and then there's Shita Zahol that applies to the older sisters also. And the good news is for the younger siblings in the room, it's not really, there's no Chiv Meira, and it's a Shaila half of, we don't stand up for parents. You still don't have to stand up. Why we don't? There's a good Shaila. Apparently, we assume the parents are Meichel. Okay. It's a funny thing, we have Neseva Tokum. So anybody over 70 got to stand up. Zachiv Daraisa. So when I ask people, why they stand up? They say, they're all Meichel. I said, did you ever ask him? So if you ask a 75-year-old, he's not going to say, no, I'm not Meichel. But if you want to get a real opinion, not so push it. Happens to be by Kibbutz Avim and by Bnei Seva Tokum. Even if they're Meichel, if you do it, you get a Kiyum. So there's no downside. I think it's a little bit of a bizarion. It's one thing not standing up. The parents talking to a child, and the child's flat on their back on the couch. They say, yeah, Ma, what do you want? It doesn't even like stir. It doesn't even like get up. Doesn't even sit. That's a lot different than just not standing up. And you have to know your children and or know yourself and figure out whether you want to improve on that, because there's a great gap in between. Lamaisa, these chiyuvim don't apply to an older sibling. I mean, to generally listen to them. The svar behind it is, and the parents aren't here. They want to know somebody's in charge and somebody's in control. I've seen people who don't know every shach and hilchos kibbutz avim, but this one they know. By the shrei and the shrigger, it says you got to be mechaber them, and the shach says kishar zakein and ba'alma. So people like that shach. That shach is after the shach. Like what's left? So what do in-laws have over other zakenim? No, they learn the shach. What is the what's the maila then? Is his lashon over here? He quotes the Bach. Tahenu. The samchu b'mixus lekaved v'chayv l'chadda k'mo shar zakenim chashuvim. Doesn't say ba'am chashuvim. So you have to, as a chenim chashuv, you got to be mechabit. So the answer is you got to hold their chashuv in your eyes, whether they are not yet. And you got to be mechabit them like you would a chashuv all the birds. So it's a little higher than the regular bnei sefer takum. I mean, I'm talking about standing up, I'm talking about the level of kibud in general. And for shalom bayis, it's obviously a very smart thing to do. Another example of the three shitas. And the shaila is where the Ramah comes in. You'll tell me if you made this diak. The Ramah brings the marik. A child wants to marry a person. Talk about a boy first. A boy wants to marry a certain girl. The parents don't approve. So the Ramah brings down the marik. You don't have to listen. Why not? So there are a few possible reasons over here. One reason is that we hold, the marik holds like the shitas, that it's not servicing them. It's not direct physical kibud. There's no chiv. It can't run your life. Others say, if you don't have to give, Marik himself brings it down. If you don't have to give from your own moment, you certainly don't have to give up the person you want to marry. The kosher came from your not using your money. And others say, they're stopping and from doing a mitzvah. It's a chiv to get married. It's a chiv to have to wear chamecha with the spouse. And this is the one you want. And you're not going to be a kind of mitzvah well. So three very different reasons. The interesting thing some tshuvas point out is you notice the Ramah only brings down over here out of all the possible applications of not listening to a parent when it's not direct servicing, only by shiduchim. Sounds like the Ramah is not holding that there's never a chiv if it's not servicing them. He holds only over here either because it's a mitzvah stopping him from doing a mitzvah in the best way or because it's too much emotionally and that's like giving away your own money. Not because of the first reason. Sounds like the Ramah is being machmir in all the other cases. Otherwise, why is this the only example he's bringing down? So some hold to that dick, some don't. Again, if you're going to aggravate them, certainly talking about Shaila v'Dereis over here, and there are many Achrayim v'Paskin, and it's at least Moira, and others say you got to worry about being Mitzahar them. There, let's go to some of the questions, because we have almost enough information for the first few. And then we'll continue with the Mechaber. Does one have to offer private information to one's parents if you know for sure that this will please them? For example, this is actually very nogea. When does one tell them that your wife is expecting? Are you mechuyev to tell them early if by not doing so they'll be slighted? This is, Baruch Hashem, a very common shayla. I always encourage people, tell them as soon as you can. Don't take any chance of them getting slighted. And they do get slighted because I'm so close to you, like you don't share this. Such an important simcha. In life, whenever you're dealing with a balance of a shayla, you got to understand what is facing off against what. Here, it's a very, very lopsided contest. I have on the one side a shayla of giving your parents nachas earlier and having them, chas v'shalom, have a taina on you if you don't tell them. Versus, why do people want to tell? They're worried about ayin hara. I don't know, you know, they used to be brought down the ayin hara's farm that families would never, ever, ever take a family picture together. I give you a list of 100 things that nobody's mocking on today. All of a sudden, this, in the face of kibud av ayin, the possible ayin hara is like a no-brainer. If it's any chashash koldu who tell them earlier, and shamer mitzvah le'yeda davara, and you will get schar, and no one's going to get hurt because they're telling the parents. That's the push it. So if there's any shayla whatsoever, tell them earlier rather than later. Why take the risk? There's no downside. Here, it's not shayla. Well, I have on one hand, I have an issue to say something earlier. On the other hand, I have keep it up aim. There's no issue to say something earlier. What?
But telling them it doesn't, I inherit it isn't true. It's not inherit for them. I know that they're going to...
See, the whole thing's not... The whole thing is debatable. That's what I'm saying. We're not... people asking the shayla, like there's a shayla over here. Like, oh, I don't know, and I tell them too early. I got to get the exact day. Why should I tell them? I said, don't get the exact day. Why don't you just go 3 weeks earlier, just in case? Like, what's the shayla? We're dealing with the deraisa. Keep it of aim. Now, so the question is this deraisa? It's not deraisa. You don't want to be mitzahar your parents. The less you're mitzahar, the more not to give them, the longer you live. Let's put it that way. Pasuk says that. What? The wife doesn't want. Okay, good point. So you don't have to make a shalom bayis issue over it. Right? However, let me speak to that point. Often, the wife doesn't want to tell his parents, and her mother knows already. And then you're really playing with fire. So if she was Lashitasa, and that shit nobody knew, okay, I understand the feeling that I want to say. People are worried about her. I'm not making fun of the notion that people are concerned, but there's no Isser Shabbai, and if it'll give the parents a little more simple, or if you risk the chance they'll be slighted, why would you want to take a chance? Again, if she absolutely says no, then we're going to get to that soon. If it's going to be a major blow-up in Shalom Bayis, then you're not mechuyev at all, because Hayach HaKoydmin. And if it's going to cost you many hours of fighting or your learning or general peace and tranquility in the house, then you're not mechuyev to do a lot of this. But let's assume that she is an Eish Chayil and you're a Ben Teira, and you want to know what does the Kosh Baruch Hu want over here. So I'm just saying, it's a very lopsided shaila in the direction of saying whenever you think they're going to have more nachas and you're in a position to give them nachas, something like this, it's very easy. Not as easy as the next shaila. Actually, there was a part B to this shaila. What if they ask directly, you're allowed to lie? There are very few cases in life where you're allowed to lie. Pick them carefully. This is not one of them you should use up. You're going to lie now? You say, no, I'm pregnant, and then all of a sudden you had a baby, the mother-in-law knows math. She says, you know, it's funny, this doesn't really work out. And then he told me, he says, yeah, it was one of those ladies like Tamar, you know, 7-month jobs, you know. It was, why would you want to get yourself into it? Lying is usher unless you really have a head there. And also it's dangerous because it could blow up. Why would you want to do that? And the answer is no, you shouldn't lie. If they ask you, again, unless you're going to have the problem that you're going to have to face the music when you get home and it's going to be worse, okay. But otherwise, lying is usually usher. And this week's parsha is a different shmooze. Why Yaakov Avinu had to do that? He didn't think it was mutter either, but he got a psak. And it was mutter. And you want to do it only when it's mutter and when it's not going to cause bigger problems, like over here. Next one is a little bit more complicated. For example, regarding one's financial information, how much are you mechuyev to tell them if you know they're interested? Meaning if they ask, if they don't ask. What if they ask directly personal financial information that you'd rather not share? Not in the general, maybe they have a pinpointed question. That already, there's more wiggle room because they're, depending on how, I hate to use the word controlling because every child, when they want to get a kibbutz aveim, they say, I'm put over here, they're too controlling sometimes. It's true. Most of the time, you just have to be a mesa nefesh. If your father asks you, how's the business going? How's, you know, closing deals? What's doing? That's called basic relationships. If you tell your buddy at the mikveh, you could tell your father. And if you tell your friends when you're at a kiddush, which you shouldn't be talking about on Shabbos, you're making kiddush on Sunday, let's say. So you tell them at a kiddush, you're sharing it with all the people you care about. So share it with your parents. And most people are not that secretive. They do share with people they're close to. The parents want to feel that closeness. So, if all things are equal, which in life often they aren't, you should try to share whatever information you think will give them nachas. If you feel, you know, from experience that no, they're going to dig deeper and deeper, and that they're going to be controlling, it's going to be part of your life, and they're going to start asking you how you're spending your money, and it's going to get too much, and you're not going to be able to live your life, then it's private information, and you're not mechuyev to divulge it. But again, if you're making a lot of money, there's more of a push to divulge it. They're comfortable. They're not going to ask you for money. Let them have at least a little peace of mind that Baruch Hashem, they don't have to worry about you. If you lost a lot of money, then there's more of a push in the other direction, maybe save them the Agmas Nefesh. If, again, pinpointed financial information, I've had shaylas that run the gamut, unfortunately, when the parents aren't doing well and they need money from the children, then it gets sticky because often the question is a prelude to, you know, can I borrow some? Can I have some? And the charity, as we spoke about in the summer, begins at home. And if you can really help, it's a pretty big chiyuv on the parent, both mitzvot stuck on, many times I keep it aim as well. We discussed that, how far the chiyuv goes. But if you feel that it's going to be out of control, then obviously you're mechuyev to say less. Question number two, how far does Lo Yister as Devarav go? In Sefer Chofetz Chaim, it's clear that any request that a parent from a parent that you don't listen to, his example, Chofetz Chaim's example, if they ask you to say Lashon Hara, then you can't comply because that's Usser, but otherwise it would be Mutter, or Achiv. For example, you know that your mother is anti-drinking soda. That whoever wrote this question was being nice. All the bar from asked me about smoking and schnapps. Nobody asked me about soda, but I can hear soda's a lot of empty calories and a lot of sugar. But usually it's a lot more drastic. Are you over every time? So this is directly tolling the machlokes we had before. Whether you drink soda or not, or have cigarettes, is not surfacing them. So there are definitely makaris. It's not of the kibbutz of emlis midaraisa. It might still be midrabbanan. Then you have the achrayim behold. It's seisa devarav. That depends on the machlokes the shach and the taz. Whether seisa devarav applies when they're not, they don't see it. Machlokes the shach and the taz. So it might be tolling in that. And then I'll add, you're often going to have to get into serious lying if they press the point. Which, again, you can argue that I'm not responsible for this lying because I'm being asked for information I'm not mechuyav to say. It's an argument, but it's not such a great argument. And often, again, whether halachically there's any heter or not, it's going to blow up sooner or later. And you're going to cause more aggravation. And usually parents, especially for bachurim, and bacharetz, that's probably not the right translation. The girls somehow don't have the same shilas often with the hard liquor and the smoking. Not as much, but parents want to know because they're concerned. And a bachar is being short-sighted when they start getting into this machlekes b'shem and achrayim, well, they're mechuyev to tell. So often I tell them it's irrelevant whether you're mechuyev to tell. It happens to be they're right and you're wrong. And it's not a good habit to get into. And you're going to cause them aggravation. You're going to end up blind. They're going to find that anyway. It's going to be aggravating for them. So why would you want... We're dealing with possible derises over here. Why would you want to get into this matzah? So certainly it's not a good idea. I could break it down and say, yeah, maybe this is not lying because they have no right for the information. And maybe we pass on like Dezishayim that it's not all covered. And maybe there's no problem in Europe. Yeah, maybe. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. Are you going to get into all these shaylus for a cigarette? So many bachim say, yeah, they will, unfortunately. But, you know, they have to think about that. That's a pretty serious thing. If you want and you want to be honest, you say, look, because you asked mom, really trying to control it, I'm down to one cigarette a year, and please don't chepper me on that. And if she hears that, she'll probably be okay. But you have to talk, and there's a relationship, and they expect to hear feedback because they're trying to help you. And I know that's difficult for children, but again, the downside in the other direction is troubling, if not an absolute chiyuv in either direction. Yeah, you know, anything in moderation is healthy. That's if the mother says, I heard you're drinking 9 cups a day, it's within a healthy and a taka isn't, then you say, Mom, I'm going to try to cut down. But there, you don't have to give a daily log how many cups you had. Because everybody knows, Bochum drink coffee and you got to stay awake during Seder. What she might ask you, if she's smart, is why is it you need 9 cups of coffee? What time are you going to sleep? And that's a serious question. Like, what are you doing all night? So if you're learning, and then that's the heter we spoke before. If you're taka learning, if she doesn't like your husmother's schedule, because she's nervous like a good Jewish mother, that you can taka skirt the issue. If you feel you have it under control and healthy and you're doing this for your learning, then it's taka mutter. I've had that. That with many people. I tell them, if you really feel you're taking it seriously, you have a direction of a Rebbe, and your parents are nervous about today, you can try to dance around a little bit, because you're doing it for a greater goal. To further this question, technically it would come out that if your parents are Yerei Shamayim, which you hope they are, every time you're over on a mitzvah or you do an Avera, besides the Avera itself, you're also over on Kibbutz of Aim. Answer is, if they are going to find out about it and they get aggravated, then it's still telling the machlokes. If you're doing specific averas that are specifically aggravating them, you should be worried about this cheshbon. You can have one maisa and be over on a couple of different issues. Not a stira. Again, if it's not directly servicing them, mechateisi. So maybe it's under yira, maybe it's under being mavaza them, but it's certainly a consideration.
Could a parent say that any mitzvah kiyumas that you do will also be nechal in kibbutz?
That only has an upside. If they want to encourage you and they say, look, you got to do the mitzvahs anyway, but you give me so much nachas, and you do the mitzvah and you have in mind, I'm doing the mitzvahs haberi, and part of the mitzvahs haberi is to give my parents nachas in gavaldi. You can get two for the price of one. There's nothing that we should be thinking like that. We should be thinking every time we do a mitzvah, primarily we want to do it to give nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we also want to give nachas to our parents. What's wrong with that?
Is it automatic?
It's automatic, yeah, but mitzvah sichas kavanah, and if you know something particularly that they like, why not focus on it? And the converse is also true. I talk to a lot of bachurim, as you can imagine from the examples I'm giving, and often they say they don't want the pressure, and just because the parents are so frum, they feel they have to perform. I said, you're right. Perform because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. But you should know, if you need the impetus, if your parents are getting nachas, you get a lot of extra schar, and you're getting, every time you do it, you get days added to your life. What's wrong with that? Like, arichas yamim, like, you can't get better than that. Picture, every time you do keep it over him, you get another 12 minutes, whatever the shir is. Keep doing it over and over and over again. To young people, that doesn't really resonate because they think they're going to live the next 1,000 years. Tell that to somebody who's 119. You say, how much would you spend now for the extra, an extra 20 minutes? You know, they'd be digging their parents up to just to make sure, you know, get Alicia to do Chiyus HaMesim or something like that. Just to have another time. We don't realize. And so we take it for granted when we're young. Yeah, another 20 minutes. Oh, okay. Oh, 20 minutes. But Torah means it, obviously. And Arichas Yamim is whatever Arichas Yamim means. Be'al Mazeh, Be'al Mabah, both. Whatever Pshat you say in the Gemara there in Kedusha. Okay, it's mitzvah kibud aveim, a mitzvah kiyumis, or mitzvah chiyuvis. Let me read to you his question, and I'll explain what the options are. If it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, how often does one have to go over to their home to give them supper? The good news is, most people, I would say, most people in the room, most people listening, they don't have to go over to the parents' house and give them supper on any given evening. And if the parents are very elderly and they need help, they have a live-in maid, or an aide, or something like that. So how often, when's the last time you have to go? Sometimes your mother will say, look, I can't get out of the house, it's snowing, can you go in your fancy car and pick me up something? So then, that's a mamash of the race or a whole day, so keep it aveim. Kvaldik. Is it good to check in? Ma'adi need anything? Ta'adi need anything? Yes. It's a good idea. Is it a chiv to keep calling? No. The more you do, the more you have rechaz yam, the more schar you get, and the more nachas they get. If they ask you, or you know without them asking you, that's where it's triggered. But if there's no need, you don't technically have to keep calling. What you have to do, though, is call once in a while just to ask the relationship. I had this conversation with somebody last week as well. I keep asking him, when's the last time you called your mother? And I keep remembering to ask him. I see him time to time. And like the first time I asked him, it was like months. It's the age where like everybody's carrying a cell phone and everybody is within range. And I said, why don't you call? So he says, I have nothing to say. That's a very strange answer. You have nothing to say? There's no weather outside. It's not hot, cold, sunny, rainy, nothing, zero. Nothing to talk about. Start with the weather, you might actually get to something personal. So then, often I hear, yeah, I get screened out for 25 minutes. Okay, so then if it's serious emotional, mental abuse and he's suffering from it, he's taka pater. And if it's not, then there's a way to steer the conversation where you can have a normal relationship, then it has to be worked on for both the children and the parents. But to not call, and just like that's the worst punishment ever. Just that the parents have to keep calling you. I've had situations, the parents call and they don't get on the phone. That they call, he picks up and he gives it over to his wife. She talks to her daughter-in-law. A wonderful relationship. But that's not, she has a much, she has some level according to the Shach of Kibbut Avayim, but that's not, it's not her deraisa. So yes, for the basic relationship of keeping in touch, you have to volunteer to do. For the details of what they need and what they don't need, if you either hear about it or know or should have figured it out, then it's a chiyuv. The more you do, that part is what we'll call kiyumitz, for lack of a better word. When Shalom Bayis comes into play versus Kibbut Avayim, how does one balance the two? As I mentioned before, Chayecha Kaidmin, if it's really bad, what the son-in-law and daughter-in-law have to know is that it's a real chiyuv for the spouse, and they should want their spouse to live a long time. I had once a gefilah, they were fighting about this, and she was complaining that he's spending too much time with the parents, he doesn't care about me, and I tried to explain to her that it's going to give him arichas yam. She looked at me like, is that a mailer, chisaron? I got really nervous when I heard that. Leilenu, she wasn't convinced that, she said, if it keeps up like this, people like get very self-centered, like they want the attention. She says, he has very little limited time. It could be there are situations Taka spending too much time over there and he has to spend more time with his wife. So then you say Chayecha Kaidmin. But the first thing you do is try to get the wife and the husband to cooperate so their spouses can be Mekayimit, and they should help them be Mekayimit. It's a tremendous plus for them as well. And if it's not working, it's not going to have enough hours in the day, then you have to, the Halacha clearly says she's Meshubedis to make sure in her avodah in the house and taking care of the kids. When she was single, her mother called her up every Tuesday and Thursday to go shopping. It's Gvaldik, that a wonderful relationship went shopping, and now she got married and she's still calling her up to go shopping. So to the extent she can, to the extent the husband can be Meichel and allow her to do it, he should. Good for Shalom Bayis, and he gets part of the schar. But Lamaisa, if he comes home and the house is flying and dinner is not ready and the kids haven't done anything yet, and he says, I just can't. You can't go out with your mother. It sounds mean, but the halacha sides with him in that regard. And it's not so pasha to press that in the other direction. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Next question. let me know we have to stop. 1:45 is the mark. If the father wants the son to continue learning, I'm just translating this. This is written in Lashon HaKodesh. So I assume he means the Marv Oitzel Shaben Yamshech Lumud. I assume whoever asked the question, I assume we're talking about the child is married, not married. I'm not sure. Can the question go either way? Let's talk about a bachur. Okay? He's not married. Father's pressing an agenda. He wants to go to work. If father doesn't want you to learn, or vice versa. So again, it's always good to take sage advice from parents. They often have experience. They mean more for your welfare than anybody else. And maybe he's right. Now, learning versus working, when to learn, when to work, that's in consultation with your rabbeim, who might know your kayach and learning better. They might see the hasmodo. Maybe the parents don't realize what a masmid you are. Maybe the parents don't realize what a masmid you aren't. So that you're going to need to bring in the rabbi, the mashgiach, other people who know you as well. But at the end of the day, it's the same rule of chayach akudman. Certainly in the direction where he is capable of learning more and he wants to learn more, the parent cannot stop him. That's the classic case in Yaakov Inig, even stop at a detour for 14 years. When his mother told him beforehand, go right now and get married. And conversely, if for some reason he should be working and he's not, and the father thinks he's wasting his time and he's pressing an agenda, so then... He should listen, because maybe the father's right. Maybe he'll accomplish more in the 4 hours he would be doing as opposed to his schedule now. The other direction completely, where he's working, the father says, go learn, I'll pay for it. That's great if he's capable of doing it. But again, if he's mamish not capable, or he's learning 3 hours and he's not capable of doing six, and the father wants to push an agenda because he wants that nachas, and I don't blame him, but it's not going to work, then chayach akedmon. If the kid is not cut out for it, then he's not mechuyav to listen. Whether he's married and whether he's not married. If he's married, certainly, he's starting his own mahalach. Even if he's not married, he's not mechuyav to listen. General, in career choices, the parent can't direct. He wants to go to dental school. And the father had his heart set on him becoming an accountant. And the father keeps hacking, what do you got to drill teeth? Just crunch numbers, there's so much more geschmack. Sure, it's true, but he keeps hacking away every time he walks in the house. Every dinner they're arguing about crunching numbers and drilling holes in teeth. It's the same conversation. And the father really, if you're working, you might as well do something you enjoy. And the kid thinks, right, so that's what I'm going to get to. So if the kid wants to pull rank in halacha, it's his life, chayach akedmon. The father can then say that, very nice, I'm not paying for it. So now what? So, sounds like you've been a father for a while. Well, it's good to have somebody with experience here. So the problem, okay, you have accounts, okay, so... So the problem is, I've had all these cases multiple times, and everybody's alamed in Baruch Hashem. We live at a Dardea. Baruch Hashem, the fathers did a good job. The kid learned in yeshiva. So I'm open, whenever I give a psak, I always, if you want to talk on learning, just as long as you take the psak at the end, I'm willing to talk on learning. So I had this with somebody once where I told the father he can't really dictate. If the kid doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to do it. And the father said that I'm not paying. And the kid said, sorry, Ta, you have to pay because it's a chiyuv to malam and umnus. So, this gets a little tricky. And the father said, you have a chiyuv to malam and umnus. It didn't say which one, and I hold that you should be an accountant. So I said, no, you have a chiyuv to malam and umnus, and he has to do something that he likes doing. And if he's an accountant with a good head for math and shaky hands, he's going to make a very lousy dentist. So why do you want to push him in one direction or another? He feels this is his natia. So Pasha says the son would win. Of course, then the father...
Wouldn't pay.
No. The father told me he'll pay. I said, really? That's good. He said, hey, I'm going to pay for basket weaving. He took that example from the Gemara. That's at Umnas Kala Nakia. I said, which university is offering that? He said, I'll find one. with two lamdanim over here, I wasn't winning in the conversation at all. But that is and certainly if he's married, if the father, I'm not giving anybody any ideas. It should be the father's nachas, if he can hold him out and he's really learning, hold him out as long as he can. But if for whatever reason, he says, okay, it's been 18 years, and that's fine, it's wonderful, and it's gavaldik. I wish it could be another 18 years, but it's getting a little tight, and the son says, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you can't tell me what to do. He says, I can't tell you what to do, but I can't pay for it, and I'm not writing any more checks. So then that's not a kibbutz of Em Shaila, and it's not a... That's the father. Again, I would encourage the father if he's got nachas and he's getting schar for it, wonderful. But if he can't or doesn't want to, you can't halachically force the issue. The kid doesn't have to listen and the father doesn't have to pay. What?
Student loans.
Yeah, so student loans, that's a very good shaila, but that's on the umnis side. There's a father, can the father say, I'll give you the down payment, the student loans cover whatever, 80%, 90%, what do they cover? You've got to pay something, right? So can the father say, I'm Yetzi because I have student loans and you pay it back because medical school is a fortune? And the minig is, most people do take student loans. The shaila is, I've had this also, can the child ask the parents to pay? And the child says, I don't want to be saddled with student loans for 20 years after I graduate medical school, which takes 9 years. I had this with a couple of doctors, and I told them not to bring up the question again in front of your parents. I'll discuss it with you privately, but the shtickel chutzpah to ask the parents to lay out hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, even if they can afford it. Ah, but he's a chiv lamda umnis. The answer is a chiv lamda umnis. I has no chiv to put you through medical school. It's a lot of different umnis. So that's the issue. So I told first the kid asked me in front of I said, don't even bring that up again in the mixed company over here. I'll explain to you why later that's out of line, even though I understand you haven't made it. And it is out of line because the Gemara condition doesn't say that he is a chiv to pay this kind of money. So this is a it's the entitlement issue sometimes you have with children. I'm not just because I'm a parent doesn't mean I'm always on their side, but when the sugya kibbut of aim, there's no deraisa that says dibris of kibbut bonim and bonus. We have a chiyuv of chinuch, we have a chiyuv of mechabed them, because you have to mechabed people and children. You have to make them feel warm and welcome and loved. It's all very important, but the deraisa in print in us as dibris is in the direction of the parents. And because we live in the age of entitlement, often you'd have a situation where a child can even dream of asking his parents to pay $600,000 over the next 9 years because he doesn't want to take student loans. I also understand I wouldn't want to be saddled with student loans either, but that's quite a request. So I told one kid, I said, you're not even a Democrat. How can you come up with something like that? I go, well, this is an entitlement. I've got to give me something for free. If the parents can do it and they want to do it, then wonderful. And they do it for learning. It's a tremendous chus. And they shouldn't be saddled with debt. It's also a tremendous chus. But you got to know what's going to put pressure and what they can really do and how much you're going to push the agenda. And the children have to know their place in this regard. And it's no different than the six-year-old walking into the toy store with the parent and asking for everything on the shelf and then one extra one when it breaks. And the parent keeps saying, no, 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 no. That happens at every home. And that's always, yeah, the question is every time you give in, you have to give in sometimes. Children need toys. But every time you give in when it's not necessary, you're raising the bar because, I don't know if you've noticed, but in 3 days, that toy will be either broken or pushed aside. And when you ask why is it pushed aside not broken yet, they say it's boring. So I'm not talking about my own kids. They've done that also. They're not angels. But Lamaisa, part of parenting is teaching them that sometimes the answer could be no. And if you do that, you will raise healthy, adjusted adults. If you spoil them rotten, you're not doing anything for the kibbutz of Eim now. You're going to do less for it later. And they're not going to be able to handle any of these in their life because when the boss tells them no and he's not going to go back to the subject, they're not going to know how to handle it. What do you mean no? I grew up in my house and we got our way. If we threw enough of a tantrum, we got our way. So part of the kibbutz of Eim is for their own psychological safety that the parents have to know when and where to put their foot down. You got to know every child, every situation, every generation. But even in our generation, maybe especially in our generation, I think we have to bend the tree a little bit the other way. And you will raise children who are better adjusted to handle Miss Anderson life. Let's see if we can tackle one more. I have 2 minutes left. Okay, I'll leave off since it's not geared to the parsha next week. The Chidah brings down from the Zayar Kaddish that Rachel Imenu was punished with a terrible inish of not being able to bring up Binyamin, the son, because she stole the trophim. Which Zayar does say that. Why'd she steal the trophim? Because she cared about her father. where there is a chiyuv kibud avayim b'neinah, but there isn't, but she cared about her father. And she didn't want her father doing avodah zarah anymore, so she wanted to take away the chafsa so he wouldn't be able to yisr, at least for a day or two till he makes a new one. So why was she punished? So a lot of the Achraim discuss this. This is scary because this shayla comes up. Halacha l'maisa, a parent is a diabetic, lailin, or something like that, and the doctor says, "Veshul meifin, you can't have this stuff." And they ask for it. This is not an uncommon shayla. Or cigarettes, and the doctor said, "This isn't stomp dangerous like any cigarette. This is like you already had issues, and they can't have any." And the parent asks them. I've had this. A kid called me from an airport. Parent just called him on a cell phone. He's walking by the duty free shop, and the father said, "Are you in the airport yet?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "Go into the duty free shop. They have great prices. Get me a pack this big." And he said, "Ta, the doctor's not going to have it." He said, "Don't talk to me about the doctor. I just do some kibbutz of him. I asked you. It's a direct order." That's mamish giving him anah. I'm killing him, but it's giving him anah temporarily. That's mamish like machila. That's like direct covered. But what do you do? Again, depends on, is it just generally not good for him, or is he already suffering from this and it's really suicidal? The first etza is to say, "Okay, Tal, I'll get to it in a minute. Is mommy there?" And get her on the phone and have them fight it out. It shouldn't be your problem. That's the first etza. You have barriers when you're a child. So if there's a real issue that has to be done, this the you know get the parent to, if it has to get done, it shouldn't necessarily be you. And this is no gay. You're doing it for the parents' good, but you're causing them tzar. So why was she punished? We know that Chizkiyahu HaMelech took his father's, well, it was a Russia, took his father's coffin. Instead of bringing him a covetic thing, he took to the body and he was Magarit. Magar is that some mamish, mamish a bizayin. So the Ivitz asks, is the Chizkiyahu got schar for that? That's a Gemara, it's a Mishnah. So what's the difference? So the Ivitz, someone to say a chilik, but b'chayiv you can't do it. Achamaisai a bizayin is only a problem if it's he doesn't need the kapara. He needed a kapara. Rabbi Yosher said stealing is a maisa iser be'etzem. So even though she did it for the right reasons, is it going to be collateral? Unshim as opposed to being Magair, where there's no downside if the bizayin is necessary. Whatever the teretz is, when you do things for a parent's good and it involves an Isser or Hara Shah, be very, very careful. Milan Ogodol, Rivka Menu, Rochle Menu took it and she wanted to help her father, at least temporarily. She couldn't stand the fact that her father was doing this chi of Misa of Avodah Zarah, and yet there was collateral damage. So you got to be careful and certainly ask a shayla if it comes up. Okay, we'll stop here for the meanwhile. Travis? How are you? Good to see you. Could you sit here close enough? Or?
About if a parent asks you to go to the store, let's say you're